You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. To listen to the live stream, go to fake11.com/radio2. Now, on with the audio chat.
This is Alan, what's his name? October the 2nd, 2022. And you've got to listen to Rick talking to himself till Ab turns up. Thank you, folks.
Thanks, Alan. That was a wonderful introduction as usual. Rick on the 2nd of October 2022. And I was talking last night to Ab and Frank. Well, I was there for a little bit, and then someone called Giraffe turned up. And very interesting show on teeth and the health of your jaw and tooth extraction. Guaranteed, well worth a listen. It's pretty much exactly what I was kind of coming to over the last few years, looking into poor health and the relationship to your teeth. So yeah, it was really worth listening to. Apparently he disappeared afterwards. I think he wanted to talk more on EGI because he had some more extreme views that Mr. E has on EGI, which I'm, I think Mr. E's fantastic, but I think EGI is basic damage control because there is definitely a transgender agenda at foot, guaranteed. And, what some of the EGI claims do is just make it look ludicrous. You know, they'll say Arnold Schwarzenegger's a woman, Charles Bronson's a woman. This is just absolute damage control because what it does is ridicule the idea that they are force feeding hormones through through your clothes, the plastics, money, the water that we drink. Alex Jones was on the money there with the turning the frogs gay, but there again, he was used to muddy the water, you know, and has turned the freaking frogs gay rant. But he's right. This is straight out of Julian Huxley's playbook. One of the highest players of the last 150 years, guaranteed, the Huxley brothers. And as Jan Irvin does that drinking game that every time a Huxley is mentioned, you can have a drink and you'll be blind once you start doing the tracing, the playbook of how we've got to where we've got. Because those guys, including their father or their grandfather, I think it was the grandfather, Thomas Huxley, that was pushing the Darwin narrative and was Darwin's bulldog, that's what I keep saying. He was the guy that was pushing and making Darwin a star. Just like we've got these pathetic science stars now, space hookers, you know, pushing the space narrative. And the Huxleys, Julian's writing the introduction to the UNESCO 1947, I do believe, and Alan Watt, he was the man to bring that up, read it. And that is crucial information. I've even got a book called The Playboy Reader. I've brought this up before. No boobs involved, just the really good interviews that Playboy ran in the 60s and 70s with the cutting edge of who's who of what's going down. I think Hefner was a made man. He was the guy that was, you know, pushing the sex agenda. Incredible writer too. He was a very clever guy, but he made sure he was interviewing Julian Huxley gets two interviews. Aldous gets at least one, Huxley, basically in 65, was giving you the global warming bullshit, 5 pages of it, that this is coming, that we need to, the earth is heating up and everything's going to melt. And let me tell you now, this morning I walked into a cafe. And I noticed a few conspiracy theorists having a coffee, which was good. And I walked in and I went, it's freezing. I opened the door up and the cold wind blew in. And I said, well, global warming, guys. And they laughed their heads off because we are absolutely in what I would call winter weather in October the 2nd, 2022. So the weather is getting colder as per astrophysicists and the moon and sun studiers that said the sunspots were at record lows and it's going to get colder. Be told the sun is a thing, the moon is a thing, guaranteed, and it does affect us. Not a projection, I'm sorry to say, but it's definitely a thing that does things to our weather. And good weather meteorologists back in the day used the moon as a, and the sun obviously, as a device to predict the weather with uncanny accuracy. Uncanny accuracy. And I shout out to great New Zealand moon man that did his amazing long-range weather forecasts, disappeared, got attacked everywhere he went on particularly Facebook, which I removed myself with good results 3 years ago. Do not use it. I do make sure you don't use it either. It's not. All it does is create arguments and feeds your information to people that don't agree with you via their algorithm, and they admitted that they've done that. So be told, stay off Facebook, unless you are a glutton for punishment. One of the things I was going to mention tonight, apart from the brought up Alan Watts' actual wife, of 14 years, they did a fantastic show 2 weeks ago, I think. And thanks to Martha that came on, a Rick and Rollo fan. There's a 10 out of 10 for that. He's been listening to us. He's in Scotland of English descent. And he said, you must listen to it. And I did. And she, like, I've got a good ear for bullshit artists, and she sounded completely genuine, very affected that Alan had a heart attack. He suffered terribly after his booster shots in 1990 something or other, and he's going on tour doing session guitar work, and I think it probably killed him in the end. That's the way it goes, folks, guaranteed. One of the other claims he made last night, Jeff Berwick is a woman. Really? Doesn't look like one. Doesn't sound like one. Most women, female to male, like, say, Chastity Bono, look like men, women with a mustache or a beard because the hormones are taking. They're not convincing. They're not convincing. Women, men, they can do a good job with that, I do believe, with the operations, the throat, voice operations. They can change a man's voice into a woman's by fiddling around with the vocal cords, and it's a fact, guaranteed. That's an operation. That's what I was talking about. So I was talking about Carl Jung a couple of weeks ago in my early introduction to Rick and Ab, and the importance of the subconscious and how the subconscious is what we are run by, guaranteed. And Jung and Sigmund Freud, they were experts back in the day, and then they trained the advertising psycho that they've got, you know, that wrote Propaganda, Bernays. He was using all their techniques because he was related to Freud by birth and by blood. So just something simple like morning, good morning. I mentioned this last night. Good morning. That is just like now then. It is a contradiction in terms. It's now and then. Morning, good morning, good and morning. Morning being, you know, someone's died. These are keeping you in la-la land, your subconscious is anyway, because it knows that mourning is a bad thing. And I was thinking about today, one of the most beautiful songs ever written by Yusuf Islam Cat Stevens, Mourning Has Broken. Beautiful song, absolutely beautiful. But if you look at the two words, mourning and broken, if someone come to you and said, I'm mourning, that doesn't sound very good, you know. And if someone comes to you and says, you know, I've just broken it, that's a bad thing. So mourning and broken, mourning has broken, the two nasty double meaning words that confuse the subconscious. Has anyone else brought this up before? Not as such, but no one's brought up the Cat Stevens song, as far as I'm aware, but there is some really good information about the double meanings of English words that have been weaponized and thrown at us to control us. I definitely think, even though it's a nice song, you've got two words that don't really mean good things. Mourning, and I'm not talking about the early before afternoon. Whatever the original word was, it wouldn't have been mourning. All they've added, changed mourning, like witch, a witch and witch, the W-I-T-C-H and W-H-I-C-H, same word, same pronunciation, completely different meanings. But again, I would say the people that created that English language knew what they were doing, guaranteed. The way to fight back against the subconscious attacks, I say, is Dr. Bruce Lipton's work. And even though I'm not I like Higher Side Chats, he has some good stuff. He has some, you know, giant cats and dog men and moth men and stuff like that, that is just conspiracy candy for people at a low level and barely awake, be told. Bruce Lipton tells you how to re-educate your subconscious. And that's what's important to learn. I've already talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, be in the moment. Be in the now is an important thing to do. Guaranteed. What else have I written down? I'll just keep talking. At the moment in Australia, we've got the classic bread and circuses. We've got the Australian grand final on tonight. Last week we had the AFL, the religion of Victoria, and tonight in New South Wales and probably Queensland and maybe even Melbourne, it's grand final rugby league, and that is the biggest day of the year for these people that are completely brainwashed into worshipping a ball getting kicked around by a number of usually Polynesians at the moment. They've certainly taken over the sport. Because of their genetics, they haven't been as bred out as the white people. These guys are still very alpha and eat lots of meat and fish, as opposed to the dwindling white people and Japanese people out there that have been slowly eradicated by nefarious means and intent, guaranteed. This is Klaus Schwab from the Theoretical Economic Forum, and you're listening to Ike talking to himself on the Fakeologist Audio on the Fakeologist Network, October the 2nd, 2022. Thank you, Klaus. What a charming character he is. Charming character. What shows I've been listening to lately? Because of had to reset my podcast addict to after I got another phone, another cheap, crappy phone. Wayne McCroy's Alchemical Tech Revolution, I definitely think, even it was very coincidental. He's doing,
you're listening to Rick talking to himself.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
Rick talking to himself, October the 2nd, 2022. Alchemical Tech Revolution, Wayne McCroy. Totally trust that guy. I do. I think he's fantastic. He's apparently got two severely autistic children, and you know where that came from. Guaranteed vaccinations. I won't hear anything other, apart from there is a possibility that EMFs can cause that, and that's why the Chinese all wear lead-lined or silver-lined maternity aprons by request, because they know how damaging EMFs and the microwaves, basically, are bad for unborn babies. Guaranteed.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Wild Times from Washington, D.C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
And I'm back again, folks. Hopefully, whoever's the genius, I think it's Velocet that puts the shows together, can link the three parts up. I just did half an hour. Ab's coming on in half an hour, and I'm basically just getting my whatever the thoughts I had out that I usually lose if I'm in a conversation with somebody else. And I was just talking about Alchemical Tech Revolution podcast, really deep, not for everybody. It's not conspiracy candy. This guy is really good, and he's doing a very good show, I have to say. One of my faves, IPS, 100% love that show. Again, he had it's mainly the guests that come on to get him to – he's a fantastic interviewer. He lets people say what they want to say. And he tends to be more grounded when he's got someone else on here. Lynn Hotel, again, 2 hours of some of the best stuff you're going to hear on multiple subjects. She's a very clever girl, that one. Very clever. Clap, 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 clap. He's been regular, actually, on the shows. And the wonderful Harvest Moon, barista with a marista. Mystic Barista, sent me the Flat Earth, Chief Crow Flat Earth Worms. Love them. Love them. We used as the bumper the song about the balloon song, Airship. But his latest one, my God. I mean, the guy, whoever's doing his videos, is fucking clever. Really good. Highly recommend Chief Crow and the Flat Earth Worms. Now, there's a guy that should be famous musically. Should be famous musically. Do you think he will be? No. This has been a sore point. I'm a big musicologist, and I know so many great bands that just did not make it, had all the talent in the world, and you never heard of them. It's because they weren't part of the narrative. They weren't pushing things. They weren't pushing Satanism or drugs or whatever they needed to push. So these guys probably had a great live act and made money that way in pubs in the day, but did they become world famous? No, and there's a good reason for it. You do not become world famous unless you are pushing something these days anyway. Maybe not in the 70s. You had a lot of great acts. One of my favorite eras of music was early 70s. And I was Martha? Whatever his name is. He's 12 years younger or so than me, but he's got a very good ear for music, guaranteed, and he's been sharing some stuff on the Rick and Rollo site. Another amazing guest we've got on there is Dave J, putting on some really good stuff. I mean, he is world famous, literally world famous, one of the most high-level esotericists out there. I don't even pretend to touch some of the stuff that he's going to go. I'm barely at a 40% level compared, and he's at, say, 90%. He can get another 10%, I'm sure, if he wants. I don't think he needs to, because he's virtually talking to a lot of, most people don't get what he says. most people don't get what he says, but I can see he knows what he's doing. He's been given a revelation, and unfortunately, it's not like a gift, it's a curse, because he's literally struggling to find people that can keep up with him, because he's just speaking a different language. Crow 777's had him on 3 times, maybe more. There are people out there that can grasp the colour, vibration, frequency stuff that he's grasping, but not many, which is, you know, the curse of being a conspiracy theorist is that you will be very lonely, usually, but there's a lot of people waking up nowadays, so I've got to say I had some great conversations, had a fantastic one this morning, held court on a table at the cafe, but I unfortunately tend to, because I've got so much information to throw out, you do lose people. You can start seeing there, even though they want to hear, they can't quite grasp that you're saying, you know, Max Egan, good info, but not 100% trustworthy, in my mind. Although I do love his some of his stuff, fantastic stuff, and he's got a great voice, very good voice. Folks, you know, he ripped off Alan Watt as well. But at least you'll notice I give Alan Watt, I just said his name at least 5 times in the show. Give him fucking respect because he deserves it. The guy was a fucking genius. Was that his real name? Who knows? Who cares? But I love his voice. He had a great voice. You know, hey, folks. Just gentle, good sense of humour, hard-hitting info. Did he offer any solutions? Probably not. So, you know, that was my first comment when I first heard him. He's not doing, like, at least Solutions Empowerment and the guys from there give you a bit of hope that you've got, that you can act against these people by politely, conditionally accepting their offers with your conditions. And that shuts most of them down. So Alan Watt didn't actually bring up any of that. But let me tell you, he does tell you the narrative of how we got to where we've got. The boring old books that, you know, he read, I've got a few of them. Boring as fuck. But in between those lines, that's how we got to where we are, guaranteed. And what I've been bringing up lately is a subconscious attack by Carl Jung and Jung. Really powerful. But the solution is Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton, look into him. A lot of normie types, not normie, but, you know, aware, but not 100% that I've heard of him. He's quite well known. Really good. How to retrain your brain and to retrain your subconscious. And that's using mantras, you know, like, you know, repeating things like that. You've had it psychically driven into you. Unpsychically drive it. It can be done. Totally believe it. What other shows have I been listening to? IPS, yes, religiously. It's not the word to use, but yes, I have. Fakeologist, to an extent. I think I'm lost now. There's so many shows Ab's knocking out. So catching up. Some great ones, though. I listened to a fantastic one the other night. Can't remember. Oh, the German one, the German medicine. Good stuff. What else have I got on my radar? Rebel Moon for a laugh. He thinks he's fully aware, but he unfortunately still believes in nuclear bombs, I believe. A Conspiracy Oz, fantastic show, but he believes in nuclear bombs. So you got to, you know, take it or leave it, but you still get a lot of good information. He's going through mainstream media to get his information, which is still a good way of, you will find stuff out. They will be putting out science reports and Agenda 30 reports through mainstream media that you'll see the double-edged sword. The public doesn't. They just think how wonderful, you know, we're going to fight global warming. Get shutting down more power stations. That's happening. And that is, again, we said it before, say it again, That's the only problem that you need to be aware of and concerned about. Forget about the shape of the earth. Who gives a fuck? But they're shutting the power stations down. You will not be reading with a light unless you've got a candle in the near future when they want to regionalize lockdown of power, which they will do. Alan Watt was talking about this 15 fucking years ago. Okay, he's not Nostradamus. They wrote about it. They've said they were going to do it. Any of his knockers, then they're out there. And, you know, show us your work, like Dave J says. Show us your work. Show us what you've said and what you've been accurate in. Most of them can't do it. But if you said it was going to happen 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and it's happening, I'll stick my thumbs up for you, be told, guaranteed. But I think it's probably like 50 years ago. And as I was just saying, you know, Julian Huxley, 1965, was telling you exactly what's going on. 10 years before the Club of Rome came out, he was saying, this is the most important thing, global warming. Not global cooling, as it is, because be told, it's fucking freezing, and I'm in Australia, in a, you know, not far north coast, but mid-north coast, where it should be a lot warmer than this, be told, but it's not. So anyway, I'll just wait for Ab, unless I decide to talk again. On a more boring note, well, not really. Now, I wouldn't consider myself a green thumb. I'm the son of a green thumb. You know what that means? It means a person that can touch any plant that grows. The mother of my children, she is of the highest magnitude green thumb, grew up on a farm like my father. But I've got three raised garden beds. So I just listened to, and I highly recommend, that it's called the No-Dig Gardening. I think they're two old Kiwis, a farmer and his wife, that Vinnie Eastwood, where is he now? He's been scared off with the bail conditions. He interviewed these two, and No-Dig Gardening, and they said all you have to do, throw seeds down and some lawn clippings over the top of them, and you'll grow things. Well, blow me down. I tried it out, and yes, I've got three varieties of kumara, or sweet potato and normal potato, just from the ones that were rotting in my fridge or in my cupboard that seeds were growing, you know, the eyes were coming out of them, if you know what I mean, not a horror movie. The potatoes' eyes, I do believe they are, the kind of things that come out when they're getting older. Throw them in the garden on lawn clippings. I went down to the beach and grabbed a whole lot of seaweed, much to the disgust of, I'd saw some people looking at me like, what's he doing? You know, and I think you're allowed to do it. So I did it and threw the seaweed in there. And I've got potatoes, sweet potatoes. What else did I pull out of there? I've got strawberries growing in there, onions, spring onions, da 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 da. No idea what I was doing, but I did it. So there you go. If you want to grow things, lawn clippings, throw some seeds in and a bit of whatever else. So I'm quite proud about that. I've got pumpkins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Through no idea what I was doing. No green thumb. I probably got a mauve thumb or a light green thumb, if there's a term for it. The other thing. Now, built-in obsolescence and obsolescence. Gone are the days when you bought a brand that lasted forever. These days are finished. So unless you're buying top-end stereo equipment and TV equipment, and I'm talking about Bose and those brands, you're going to pay more for it. It will last longer. I bought a Panasonic TV. Big screen, not huge, giant like you get now, but biggish. And 2 years, just after the warranty ended, by coincidence, a strange line appeared on it. My son was complaining about, and so I went in there, and they said, "Look, it's out of warranty. Nothing you can do." Now, if you've got a loud voice, and I do, what you do is you then call the manufacturers and just tell them that you bought that brand under the understanding that it was going to last. Then you start threatening to put signs on the front of your house, blah, blah, blah. They will So I tell you now, they act really fast. So they offered me another TV. I just had to pay a couple hundred dollars, and I got one. Now, the older TV I kept, it just had a white line on the far right of the screen. Tonight, my son just came out and said it's switched off. So it's blowing up. Now, that's 4 years, Panasonic, well over $1,000. 4 years worth of, I mean, that's bullshit. So what you do have to do now is what I've been advised to do is buy the cheapest possible product with the longest possible warranty. Be told. Be told. If it's got a 5-year warranty, buy it. Because you've, at least you've got 5 years with a guaranteed use. Back in the day, we had a TV for 30 years, 40 years, literally. Literally. My grandmother had the Philips K9. What's that number? K9. Work it out, you people out there. Why do they have to use that number all the time? Porsche 911, Philips K9, which is 11-9. She had that TV from 79 probably to 2000 and something. Watched it every day. Threw it out because it was probably too big in the day, you know. So the products now are just garbage. Even Panasonic, which I used to consider, which used to be National, now it's, then it became Panasonic, I consider to be a good brand. Not anymore. Not anymore. Anyway, enough of a rant.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt.
Hey, folks. Hey, folks. Yes, Ab Fakeologist, good Sunday to you.
Good Sunday to you. Good Sunday evening to you, Mr. Richard. King Richard.
Yeah, it's King Richard. Well, you know, it's daylight savings here. So,
what?
We're in our daylight savings today. So we're now in summer mode, even though it's freezing and cold. Well, not freezing, but it's not what it should be for the this time of year. It's
okay. Well, you really get into daylight savings a little early. We do the reverse. November 3rd. One more month. We got another month.
3/11. 3/11. Another 3/11.
I'm guessing it's the 3rd. I don't know for sure. It's around there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it, to be honest, cause especially with my business. I want more daylight because I can work longer. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, you're not getting more daylight. They just moved the
light.
Yeah,
you're getting up an hour earlier. You're getting up
the morning.
Yeah. Which
I don't think it's a big conspiracy.
No. Well, there are people out there that have probably got good arguments about that, but to me, I'd rather have more daylight in a day to do things. So I've got no problem with it. But it is, we're totally controlled by this ticking clock, aren't we?
I don't think you have more daylight in the day, though. They just moved it to the morning.
That's right. So
took it out of the evening, right? Yeah. After the break.
Rick and roll it.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California.
Bria. Hi, this is Errol C. Naeem.
Rick from Paul Macquarie.
Eric. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Rick and Ab, Sunday the 2nd of October, 2022. So how did I believe your
I'm glad you guest. Said the
yep. I'm getting good. I'm practicing.
So many people on other podcasts, they give half a date. I think what use is it telling me it's July 1st when it's an old podcast? I don't know what year it is.
Yeah, you want to say the year. You ought to be relevant. Be relevant, I say.
Yeah, in a sea of audios. Yeah, yesterday was good. Gary King came by. Very interesting guy. He's very excited.
Gary King is the Canadian guy, is he? No, sorry, wrong one.
No, he's a Brit. Actually, I look forward to you talking to him because he's a muso. And I think, he knew the guy. He played with Jeff Beck.
Johnny Depp's new bandmate.
We should ping Gary because he's in Southwest France. So what time is it there? 9:20 in the morning.
Yeah, I used to know that off by heart, having spent a bit of time chatting to a French woman.
Well, I know you're going to get along with Gary well because he's 57.
Excellent. Good year. 58 now.
Well, he knows a lot about old music, so I'm pretty sure you guys are going to get along just fine.
And, excellent.
Play with Jeff Beck. He knows this guy named Joe Lynn Turner
from
Deep Purple.
He was a lead. He was with Rainbow. That was Richie Blackmore's band. And he sings a great song called something about the end of the world. I can't remember what it is. I'll find it and we'll play it at the end of the show unless someone else has already. But it's a really good show. He's a really good singer. And yes, he did kind of fill in with Deep Purple for a little bit.
Okay. I didn't know.
He's a big American guy. A big American with a good voice.
Big, I mean, when I say big, like big, tall.
We played his song last night. Six what?
He's a big 6 foot something American swaggering lead singer from the 70s.
Oh, we played him. We played him last night or yesterday. He has a new song. He's totally taken the red pill. He told Gary. He gave Gary the red pill.
Excellent.
A couple years ago. He was always kind of the kooky guy that people said, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah, that guy. But finally, now we're all relevant. Now all us conspiracy people, we're all relevant now, aren't we?
We are the new rock stars. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. Yeah. And because we've lost all our old, you know, through this iconoclasm. Of you know, losing our heroes, and you know, we've worked out that all these great people were actually fucking contrived. You know, Paul McCartney, whole lot of them, as far as I'm concerned. There's only a couple out there that I trust. And Joe Lynn Turner, well, fantastic, because he's got a good voice. He's got a really good song though that you probably didn't play is one of his first songs that he did with Rainbow, which was again Deep Purple guitarist Richie Blackmore's solo. Band, but when he's left Deep Purple, he's very well regarded singer too. Joe Lynn Turner. It's interesting. I think it was Johnny Come Lately shared a Joe Lynn Turner song the other day. I thought that's unusual. You know, I hadn't heard of him for a while, but awesome.
Is that his new song?
No, I haven't heard that one. But what I'll do is I'll find the song. He did a song that's kind of relevant to. That obviously meant that he was a bit aware way back in the day. He had a bit of foresight, but I forget the name of it. But it's a good song. I'll find it and I'll send it to you. Send it to you.
Sure. Live stream show notes. Put it in the live stream show notes. I have to confess, I forgot to play the song last week.
I did Rollo tell you that because I said. I can't believe it. We were talking about this. It was a mashup of that song that we're always playing, the Boston song with.
I'll play it. Drop it again. Yeah. I just got lazy because I was driving and I was tired. Put it in the thing again. I'll play it this week.
Yeah.
You send it to me directly.
Yeah, it was.
If you send it directly,
Bill McClintock. Remixes, which I highly recommend, and Martha, I think it is. He's another guy that's, you know, he's 10
well,
more. He's,
when I
he's
jump out in a minute for my break, I'll just play it for, is it 5 minutes?
Yeah, probably. It's just a really good remix of Stroken. It's Stroken by that old African American kind of soul singer. Black. I forget his name. Yeah, he's black. But you know, he's a really good. This guy is a really cool guy, and they've mixed in Boston's "More Than a Feeling" and 666 "Number of the Beast" by Judas, Iron Maiden. Right. And it's just a clever. And Bill McClintock, who I heard through, I have to say his name again. Media Monarchy rock show that he does, Pump Up the Volume. He has exposed me to so much good music. It's not funny. I've got to always shout him out because he's still doing a show with James Corbett, which is a very good show, I must say. Him and James Corbett do the Week That Was, whatever it's called, podcast. Great show. And he gets this new music that he seems to know where to find the latest stuff and really enjoy. And Bill McClintock, again, he's done 108 remixes of songs that you would not think would go well together. Like, it might be an ABBA song with a Slayer, death metal band.
But that's crazy.
But not only does it sound good, he's remixed the videos so that both of the acts are in the same room together. It's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliantly done. YouTube, Bill McClintock remixes. 100%.
Got to get you to work the bot. We got Gary playing the Fred Boat yesterday, so I think you could do it.
Excellent. I'll get on well with him. I'll ping him eventually and have a chat. It's good because Marfus, who's in Scotland, he's brought into the same
who's obscure.
Marfus? He's the guy that you spoke to. There's three of us on the waiting to get verified on Thursday night, and you came in.
His name is Martha?
Marthas or something like Marfus. Arthur or Marthas. I don't know. I think it's Marthas.
He hasn't come back, and Jim Giraffe left.
Yeah, I heard. He didn't get enough EGI talk, I guess.
Well, he was getting triggered by it. Forest Value gave him a little bit of pushback. So I don't know why people are so butthurt over this. If you can't convince somebody, just forget about it.
Well, you know what I say, right? If someone's a religious, when I say religious, sport, music, different beliefs, and that's it. Leave them to their beliefs, as far as I'm concerned. If they want to come your way, that's their prerogative to believe whatever they want. If they want to wear a mask, right? If they want to wear a mask, let them wear a mask.
Yeah.
Their problem.
That's not a belief.
Yours. It's a belief system, and you can't force other people's belief systems out of their brain. You will just damage your own reputation.
Yeah,
this is from years of experience. Years of experience.
Don't bother. Yeah, I agree.
Yep. And that's why, people get really angry and triggered. And, that's what, why they use the word Discord is probably for good reason. And Rumble, there's another one, Rumble. Rumble is a technical name for a fight.
It's a fight.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. A rumble. So
yeah, I agree. Why they pick these
deliberately done? Deliberately
yes, you could have called it anything. Yep. Could have called it
call
anything.
Call it peace. Call it chill.
Yeah, right.
Great
words.
But they
could have called this chill.
Discord. Rumble. Discord.
I like that.
Mm. There you go. I'm always on
chill. The chill chat.
The chill chat. Fantastic. And everyone be chilled and just get on with each other. No. You're going to call it Discord, and it's going to be Discordian conflict. Absolutely angry fight back. And then Rumble. Let's go into Rumble. And that, to me, Rumble means a fight. Simple as that. That's
Rumble
what I get
in
my
jungle.
Brain. Yep.
I never thought of Rumble like you just said.
I as soon as I heard it, I thought, not
caught
another
right
one.
Away, eh?
Really? Yeah, not another one. Please, just give
just
us something.
Call it Fight Video.
Yeah, call it the Chill Out Chillax. Chillax, the Chillax site. Anything. But they want it to be fight. They want people to get upset. So I do disagree with the, I don't know if I said it, but I'd written it down. That EGI, yes, I agree, there's a transgender agenda. But when what they do, this is a simple thing. Rather than own up to it, they go, what we do is just use the old technique of put some ridiculous bits in there to rubbish everyone else. So they'll say, Charles Bronson was a woman. And I'm not going to name names, but we've had this conversation
Yeah, I know.
Totally ludicrous. And what it does is I'm telling you, women cannot change into men without looking very odd. It does not happen. Chastity Bono has a beard. big deal. Looks like a fat woman with a beard. Does not look like a bloke. No way.
Oh, yeah.
Charles
but
Bronson was an alpha male. Muscles.
She's
muscles.
An admitted nut.
Yeah, so she is, but and Chastity Bono and all these other women.
I gotta
women
step out. Hold on, Rick.
Oh, cool.
Here we're going to play it. Yep.
Talk stroking with the help of, I do believe also, I could hear Freddie Mercury in there. So it was Boston, Bill McClintock, Clarence Carter, and Iron Maiden doing the guitar solo. That, my friends, is clever. I don't care what anyone says. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, this music mixing technique. It's absolutely brilliant. And I've got to say, he's got 108 songs, other songs, so 107 other songs that are just as good. You know, he's got a fantastic one with Ted Nugent and Michael Jackson called Ted Jackson. And it's playing one of Michael Jackson's songs with Ted Nugent playing guitar. He's edited them both into the room together. Absolute genius. This is the future. I said this many years ago. I knew with the technology that was coming, mainly the voice modulation and voice morphing, et cetera, that you'll eventually have a recording of, say, Marilyn Monroe singing Motorhead songs using Marilyn Monroe's voice edited in to replace Lemmy's, you know, breathy, soft version of Ace of Spades. This is because we've finished. Music is finished. We've got to the level where we're going to get. We've been going de-evolution for many, many years, probably since the 70s. And so we've got to the – I think the best stuff was probably 300 years ago, you know, technically, the beautiful Tchaikovsky's and the – well, maybe not Tchaikovsky, but a lot of those really clever classical musicians. That's music that healed you. It balanced your blood.
That stuff is behind us, eh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But what I do agree that someone said that what they're going to do is, and that's what they're doing, they're remixing. So all we've got left is to make a blancmange, say, out of three different songs. You know, making another dish out of those songs and adding them together and removing this or changing the voice. And it'll last for another 50 years, but eventually we're going to get to the end of the combinations that you can do. I think we've lost, we've moved as far forward as we're going to get music-wise.
And we talked about music with Gary King Music. Let me ping him here. You might see the ping. Anyone who wants to talk to us, you know, you can always call in.
Will I get a word in? Good luck. But between me and you, it's a miracle that anyone can get another word in. Maybe Frank.
Yeah. But, Frank is good. Frank's really good at stomping on people now. He's really up to his game. Good on
he's
him.
He's good, Dave. But listen to his voice. He's got a really good voice. Really good voice. And
voice, good knowledge. Mic, good message.
Yeah. Perfect mic. I've never heard him sounding crappy, ever. Ever.
Yeah, well, when he's mobile, we can't hear him. So he has had some problems. But that's okay. We all have problems with these devices.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a really good face-to-face conversation with a group of conspiracy theorists today at a cafe called Moon Harvest. Yeah, today. Oh, fantastic.
How is Moon Harvest? He's been away.
He's good. Oh, he's a bit under the weather. He's got a bit of a head cold, he was saying, but he's taking the right stuff. He's got the right stuff.
After the break,
Evan Rick. After the break, Rick and Roll.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Joe Mama from Southern California, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Joe Mama on October the 2nd, 2022, Evan Rick. Shooting the breeze. Ab's working, I'm not. So
and I heard,
good.
I just started listening to Alan Watt's wife. Do you, are you on board with that? Is that a real thing, you think?
Yeah, 100% guaranteed. Yeah. She is, she's only 14 years. They've only been together for 14 years before he died, which is a long time. It is a long time, but she wasn't there when he was a session musician. I think she probably met him being online. She would have listened to him and, you know, probably fallen in love with the, you know, hey folks, you know, man Hamish. And I believe he was a very private guy and very guarded. And whoever he was, may well not have wanted to get mentioned as he was married. And I can pick, and I'm telling you now, I've got a gift. The only gift I've got is I can hear bullshit artists. And she was totally, totally genuine, but, you know, got emotional at the right times. There is a thing called forensic speech pathologists that they use them, the police use them to work out, are they lying? Or there's certain keys and sounds and frequencies that they give away. And I listened to an interview with one once. And she was fantastic. And the radio announcer that was interviewing her said, well, what do you think of this guy? And he was the main star of this radio station, Alan Jones, who's Alex Jones was modeled off, the Australian broadcaster. And she said, he's very sure. I don't think he believes what he's saying. She started saying truths about him, and they had to quickly cut her off because this is the main star of this radio station that she was saying, whoever that guy is, he's not sure about what he's saying. And there is a certain key there that I can pick it as well. I don't know how, but I can hear someone saying something and they don't believe what they're saying. And that's nearly all politicians, Ab. I would say that all the politicians I've listened to are not saying what they truly believe. They're reading a script.
Well, they're told they can lie, though. There's some... who said that they are allowed to lie? I can't remember what it was. They're supposed to lie. They're in some guild or something. I can't remember who said that.
Highly likely, but there's a reason why... Because I have to say this. There's one thing I don't know about, and that's politics, and I never wanted to know about it. Like, from a young child, I didn't care. You know, my mother and father were Labor voters, you know, like, they were working class type, like, you know, and
yeah.
I voted.
Probably because of the name of the party.
Yeah, well, that's right. Total bullshit, though, but yes, exactly. But most people I know vote the way their parents vote. If they don't believe in the election. Probably. Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's where they grew up. And they tell my
children how to vote. I tell them.
What do you say? Don't? Don't? Yes.
No, I vote. I'm still a voter, man.
Oh,
I know. I'm a problem. I know. But I tell them how to vote. I said, if you're going to vote and you don't have a clue, I think you should vote this way. Yeah. Whether they do it, I don't know.
Did you tell them to vote for Donald Trump?
Well, they can't because they're not American.
Good. Okay. So what's your opposition in Canada to Justin Trudeau?
Well, there's this WEF little professional. No, we got liberals on the left or in the middle and so-called conservatives on the right. They brought in a young guy, a younger guy to run the conservatives because the last guy, his name was O'Toole. And he was a tool. He was a policy geek. Nobody liked him. Yeah, so they got a new guy, and his last name is hard to say. And I guarantee nobody can spell it. And
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Pierre Poilievre Poilievre.
PP.
Exactly. Yeah, the fact that you know him is sad that you know him all the way over there. But they promoted him. They've done a good job marketing him. For sure.
Yeah.
He's got some young guys marketing him. And he's WEF. He's not talking about SDGs and Agenda 21, which is the real story. That's the real story.
That's right.
He doesn't know anything about that, he says. Never heard of it.
Can I just tell you, Ab, and I'm talking about face-to-face talks to clients I'm working, because as I said, I do work for a lot of very wealthy people. And one guy, I'm talking about extremely wealthy, he reminds me of, funnily, we were talking about Jeff Beck before. He's probably the same age as Jeff Beck. He's nearly 70, but he's got long hair, grayish long hair, but he looks like he's about, to me, he looks like a rock star about 50 years of age, but he's a high level finance guy. He was educated at Cambridge, which is a sign that, you know, he's serious, you know, money. Really nice guy. And I said to him, because we get on well together, and I said, what about and I explained about the World Economic Forum, and he said, look, I've never heard of this, but he said, if that happened, he said, there'll be a revolution before that kind of thing happened, because people will not put up with their houses being removed off them. And I just said, well, he's saying it. He's there, but he had never heard of him. And I know that he wasn't lying to me. He's a genuine, nice guy that I've known.
Recently?
Last year. Early last year.
Maybe last year. Okay, well. Yeah, Klaus Schwab has got to be one of the most famous people in the world now, unfortunately.
But
But he's more famous than the head of the UN. Do you know who the head of the UN is? Because I barely do. I think it's Guterres, but most people don't know that.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that now.
Nobody cares.
We only know about Kurt Waldheim because they said he was a Nazi.
Yeah.
You know, Klaus tells
the United. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember all of them, but I've always had a healthy hate, or not hatred, a healthy skepticism about United Nations, having, you know, read the books and being educated. Well, you know, I knew that they were set up.
Power is always dangerous.
And the fact that he's the blue hat, you know, the color blue for their army, you know, their private army that they've got that goes around that they recruit from. Canada and Australia and New Zealand are heavily involved with United Nations blue caps, be told. They are really, and I know a number of guys, peacekeepers, It's, you know, we come in peace, shoot to kill. It's total, you know, if you make a stormtrooper put a powder blue uniform on, he's still a stormtrooper. It doesn't matter what color his uniform is. You know, and the fact that they made Star Wars the stormtroopers in white was that there's a reason there. You know, Darth Vader wore black, but his troops all were white. You know, white colored. So you know, they use colors to downplay their actual intent. For sure. Dave Joe, he'd understand that one, guaranteed.
Colours and tones.
Colours and tones, yeah, for sure. And powder blue, and the blue is what the... So I was talking to Dave Joe today, actually, or texting with him. Wow. Yeah, he's on Rick and Roller. Well, he knows that I actually enjoy his higher level stuff because I'm kind of, you know, I give myself about 40% aware and what he's about 90%. He understands.
He'll talk your ear off.
Yeah, well, no, well, it's because I can get what he's saying and I understand. He's showing me these pictures he's drawn. And I said, that looks to me. He drew this amazing one about this. It was a spinning spiral above what looked like a house, but it was about the mind of men being controlled by this. And I said, that looks to me like the image of Dorothy's house being lifted up by the tornado and Wizard of Oz. Yeah. And I think I was on the money because I don't know if he'd picked up on that, but the whole book, you know, Frank Baum's book, Wizard of Oz, was deep level exposure of the trickery of the elite and how they're conning us using their yellow brick roads and their, you know, straw men, scarecrow, oh, man, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So what Dave J was drawing in his thing to me showed me that the metaphor of the tornado sucking up, Dorothy's auntie's house was actually what Dave J was explaining in one of his drawings, whether he knew it or not, but I picked up on that. And again, I do not at any stage go, oh, he's wrong. And you know, about that, I'm in awe of what he's obviously been given some kind of greater awareness of a understanding of how they're using these colors and tones and words.
Is that from smoking pot?
I don't think so. I think he said that he had an accident when he was younger and he either argued with God and said, you know, I need to know whatever. And he said he was given the answer, and he said it was more of a curse. I think that's what he said, but I said, I agree that to be aware at a level of, you know, tenfold above every normal person is a curse because you're not going to find anyone you can talk to. And you'll be trying to explain something to someone that's going to go, I'm sorry, I don't understand that. There's only not even 1%, not even 0.5% of the population would understand what he's talking about, I do believe. There are people that do, for sure. Anyone that's aware of color, frequency, and vibration, there's a number of them out there. They should be able to pick up on what he's saying. But the average guy could not understand what he's saying. No way.
They'd say he's nuts.
That's the first slur that they use any conspiracy theorist. It's like, you know, I can't understand it, so you're mental.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. Even though now I do say he's on that site, so he's not he started having a go at Purple Play or whatever she calls herself now, saying, show us your work, which is a really good way of arguing with someone to say, you show me what you've done that's better than this. Because
that is good.
Yeah.
Most people have no work.
They don't. And there are people out there that have got the skill to be able to come up and put out stuff that no one else has done. And I know, like, you know, I use this analogy for me anyway, is that say you see you're in a ship and you see there's a little peak of ice in the distance. Now, I can see that there's a peak of ice there, and I know, I haven't seen it, but I understand that underneath that is a giant iceberg. So you've got to be able to see, if you can just see that there is a spike sticking out of the water and that the underneath is something you can't see or understand, but it's clearly...
Is that Dave Jay?
Yeah, he can see. Oh, no, we'll put it this way. I can see that spike of truth that he's talking about. I don't understand it fully, but I know that underneath it's there. There's a big giant iceberg. There's a there, as my one of my favorite.
That is one of your best things. Hold on one second, Greg.
No worries.
There was no foul play, and I know I will never be able to satisfy that kind of morbid curiosity crowd, you know, the crowd that. I try not to pay too much attention, but the crowd that says, oh, he faked his death and, he's not really dead and, or, you know, something happened and, you know, all record of it has been scrubbed and, you know, or we deserve to know he was a public figure. We deserve to know. And I know that no matter what I say, that I can't satisfy the people who wanted to show up at the death scene of Alan Watt with a video camera and a forensic pathologist, that you won't be satisfied. But others will be. He was never what you would say. He was never in great health. For many, many years, certainly since the rheumatoid arthritis attack in the mid-90s, that and a series of being given the, you know, just terrible medications. I mean, it's just crude, you know, the medicine, the butchery that goes on.
All right, that's Alan Watt's alleged wife, Bev. And
Bev was her pseudonym that she used. Her real name, says a real name. Yeah, it's not that, it's Erica or something like that. She wanted to be kept out of the profile, and that's what she says through the show. She says, you know,
got his microphone working pretty good, didn't she?
He had a. I don't know if you've been listening. I've listened to his everything he's done.
I haven't done the whole thing. I just started.
I have twice.
Six of them, right?
Of her shows, there's one.
Yeah,
that's the only one I know. When Alan Watt.
Divided into six parts of 12 minutes each. So
I've got the whole one she does. It's called. What she does is goes on about the Canadian health system and the problems that he had getting the medication that he was after, because he was trying to order in stuff from overseas and they were getting stopped at the border as being, you know, too dangerous, and they weren't letting him get it because he was suffering from his, after his vaccinations in the 90s, he, you know, that's when he stopped playing guitar because he got the rheumatoid arthritis, which is, which I've got now. and my right, in my right hand. And if I was, if that was my guitar hand, I wouldn't be able to play guitar. Guaranteed. I can't even make a fist. Can't throw a punch.
Really?
You know what I mean? Oh, no. Yeah. And that started about a year or two ago. That's why I was on interested of what the giraffe was on about last night, because I've had a lot of teeth removed back in the day, and not a lot, but I had four major teeth removed, plus I've had two root canal, and all the symptoms that he talks about I've had. But not, he had 13 teeth removed. 13 teeth removed. Overcrowded teeth.
And that was yesterday's audio chat, by the way, guys.
Yeah, really good. Highly recommended.
We liked it. I forgot to put in some of those pictures there. Well, they were gruesome.
Well, I believe it. But anyway.
FAC 1163.
Yep.
Yeah, Vela said called it Hey Hey, but it really should be called Jim's Tooth Story. That's really what the show was about, wasn't
1163 it? There's a 9/11 there, Ab. 11/63. Well, sorry to be a conspiracy theorist.
No,
Look, it's coincidence theory. You're listening to Ab and Rick. After the break, Rick and Rollo. I'm on the action.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Ab and Rick on the October the 2nd, 2022. And we're just discussing Mrs. Watt. So anyway, I listened to that. What's fantastic in that show is she talks about the Canadian medical system, which she said was terrible. Basically, that he was not treated the way he should have been. No. And so her father is American. So after he passed away from a heart attack on the bed with her, if you listen to the show and you can hear her breaking down at the right, telling it that was not, there's no faking the emotion that she was going through when she talked about the show and Hamish and all the blah, 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 blah. You know, it was very good and very enlightening. Totally believe it, because there are people out there that are private. They don't like they don't want to be famous or they're aware of the nasty things that can happen if you're speaking the truth. And that, you know, for yourself, Ab, you know, if you put your own face and your children's faces out there and you became famous and your children were at school, they're going to get absolutely almost, I'll tell you right now what would happen if you had kids at university and you became famous. You'd have to be like, you know, Kermit the Frog, what's his name, who's being attacked as a psychopath. You know, the things that they're saying about the Canadian thinker, you know,
what's his name? Talk about this.
You know,
Jordan Peterson. I don't like the guy either.
No. It doesn't matter. He's being attacked. They're not attacking his views. They're attacking him personally. And if he had a wife or a child, well, that child at school would be getting teased and attacked. A child. Well, then he's very brave for doing it. So what? Alan Watt, pseudonym, who's to know?
I think he's I think he's an agent provocateur. Sorry.
Not sure. He's saying some fantastic stuff. Always
he was pro-vax. He's a misleader.
Well, Alan Watt was the complete opposite. Alan Watt has been attacking vaccines for the last 18 years. That's all I'm going to say. So there you go. There's a bit more credibility as someone that's prepared to stand up and say, vaccines made me sick and they stopped me being able to play guitar. And now Eric
Clapton has had the same result on his hand. It's swollen up. He couldn't play guitar. So,
yeah.
Good on Eric. And anyway, yeah, fantastic. So Mrs. Watt, or Erica, I think her name was, or something of that nature, she just discusses their life, as a, you know, cause again, he was very against Alex Jones. He's very pro Bill Cooper.
That's good.
I'm telling you, I would not have listened to three times everything he did if I, and my cats are starting to fight. I would not have listened if I thought that he was a liar or I was getting bad information. So I second what I did with everything he said is I went and did my own research. I already knew all about Professor Carol Quigley because I'd read those books in 1982 or 3. So I understood that he was on the money there. And nearly everything else he's done.
Alan Watt three times, you said?
Oh, yeah, at least twice, and then some of them three times, yeah, guaranteed.
Wow.
Because of my I discovered him when I was painting my house, and I had lots of time, you know, and it was a pretty big house to paint, and so I listened to everything I could find going back to RBT or RB, what was it, the something RBH or what. One of the, when he was just doing it, it was on a shortwave broadcast, I believe.
Yeah.
It was 2007 to 2012, and then I started doing, when I was working, was 2014. And, yeah, now I listened to him and I researched what he was saying, even though I knew a fair bit of a lot of the stuff I already knew. But just the stuff he was talking about, the Milam Group, which I'd never, ever, 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 ever heard of the Milam Group before, that, which is the guys that did the the Boer War and the First World War.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now,
what
if you do
the
your
Milam
own Milham, it was Lord Milham, M-I-L-H-A-M. Okay, was the guy that the Rothschilds, what didn't he do? He was the pointy, he was the kind of mercenary type that organized the expeditions into the Africa, made sure that the news reported that the
Lord Kitchener?
He would have been the guy that brought Lord Kitchener in and sat and had dinner with him and said, this is what we're going to do. This is how we do it. And yeah. And the Milam Group were the kind of the earliest incarnation of the royal. So they were royal appointed, you know, above CIA type, you know, if you have, what would you call above CIA? The, NSA, you know, above that, you know, there's a group of people that are, you know, we got a wheel with a wheel.
I would say the British, some British intelligence group, Round Table. Yeah.
That's what they called themselves. Lord Milham's Round Table.
There was Lord Milner's Round Table too. Another Brit.
Milner. I'm getting mixed
Milner,
up here.
Right.
Milner
Yeah, okay.
Group.
I was wondering. Milner. I know Milner because there's a road near where I live named Milner Avenue, and it's got to be after him.
Yeah, and you've got you had a Kitchener Street. Sorry, yeah, Lord Milner.
Kitchener, Ontario. We have a Kitchener, Ontario. It used to be called New Berlin. They renamed it.
Such is the hatred of the Germans by
the Germans were in New Berlin. Yep. We have a new Hamburg. We have a new Berlin. We have all the Germans over there.
So we have two in Adelaide, South Australia, near where Johnny's List is. We've got the Adelaide Hills, which are almost entirely German owned and, you know, settled.
Yeah.
But Lord Milner and the Round Table were the you know, there was Cecil Rhodes, who was,
of the British Empire.
That was them.
They're part of
that. That was them. That was them. No, that was them. And Lord Milner, Lord Alfred Milner,
right? That's his name.
But Big Al.
Now, listen, I have done history at school. It was my favorite subject. I did South Africa, West Africa. I'd never, ever heard that name mentioned. Never.
Yeah, he never came up.
So there you go. Exactly. And so the only person that has ever brought him up was, to me, was Alan Watt. And I looked into it, and then sure enough, and so they were the early precursor of the Council of Foreign Relations. Trilateral Commission. So they're a wheel within a wheel within a wheel. You've got your willpower, you've got a power above that appoints the next level down. There's a wheel within them, and then there's the ones that think that they know, that the politicians, that are being directed by the two wheels above them. And that's in the Bible, I think it's Enoch or whatever, that the wheel, so they looked up and saw a wheel within a wheel, and that Alan Watt again explains that was the coded sign about that, you're being run with a wheel within a wheel. Like there might be a Mason network, but at the very top, there's someone completely separate that's running you, and you're just the in between in this, mouse cage.
Cog in the wheel.
Just a minor cog in the wheel, but, being directed by the other wheel that's above you. So Lord Milner, we're going back to Alan Watt and his, do I believe his wife? Yes, I do. I think she was so genuine, such a nice person. She wrote a beautiful letter to my sister to say thank you to the calendar that she sent her.
A handwritten letter?
To him. Yes. It was an email. But only someone that understood the poem and its relevance to Alan Watt and could have understood and said, thank you so much, because it means so much to me, because this poem was really pertinent. It just was an accident that was in the same calendar. And I went, wow, someone really is real out there. And she said she's using the name Bev because she just doesn't want to become part of the, being attacked. And he was obviously very protective of her. She sounds a bit younger than he is, and she sounds got a beautiful voice. So you've got to trust some people, and just judging by her voice and the fact that I've learned more off Alan Watt than anyone else, that I've got to say, and everything he said has come true. When our and he was the one warning, it's the agenda of the carbon credits and the property removal. That's your problem to look at. Not all this other fucking. What did that guy say the other day? That another fantastic interview that you did with.
Well, thank you.
The guy. What's his name? The war. He's in Ukraine.
Les Luthor.
What he said? Chicken feed. Is it? Was it chicken feed?
Yeah.
That's what we've been trying. Total, absolutely truth that we've been given chicken feed, and that is. I'm sorry, flat Earth. Is the dinosaur? Oh, no, I think the dinosaur myth is very, very important for people to understand that there never was a dinosaur. That you've been given fake models.
Fossil fuel myth. Maybe they made it from the fossil fuel myth. People can relate to that.
It's part of the evolution and part of how come there wasn't dinosaurs in the Bible? So that people are using that to keep agnostic and atheist, I don't hear anything. Yeah. I think there's a weapon. That was the weapon that they threw in with the whole of evolution, that there was these creatures that you didn't get told about. You didn't get told about because it's not in the Bible, but there are actually these big, huge, giant lizards roaming around with little short arms that eat cavemen, etc. I do think the dinosaur myth is really crucial for people to understand, just as the moon landings hoax and 9/11 was a ritual. These are crucial. Yeah, yeah. These are things that you need to know and understand as much as the fake, the shootings are all, as far as I'm aware, total bullshit.
Yeah.
These are important things that we need to get that into your head. The other stuff is sadly EGI. I know
it's a guilty pleasure.
Yes, it is. That's what I said to Frank. I said it's like women's magazine conspiracy candy. It's so interesting and so much I'll admit now, I love looking at women's gossip magazines and seeing what stars look like without their makeup. To me, I love it. You know what it is? It's relaxing information. Peeling back the curtains, but it's relaxing and fun to go, oh, is that what she really looks like? Because I'm telling you now, none of the stars we know today look anything like they actually do. Most of them have got so much makeup on, it's just phenomenal. And they look really ugly. I shouldn't say really. They look like us when they go to get the milk in the morning or they get up and go and check the letterbox. But
did
when
you see
see
that one on Bridget Fonda? Did you think that was really her?
No, I don't.
That can't be her.
No, that
but
was.
Why are they doing that?
Rollo kept sharing, saying it's real. And I said it's not because there's no. I checked it right out. It's just some slightly overweight woman with the glasses on. But Bridget Fonda was a bit more stylish looking, even without makeup, physically. And I saw pictures of her only a couple of years before, possibly, and she looked kind of the same as she did before. So, yeah, no, I don't believe
Here's
that.
A message I got from SpeakPipe. If you want to send me a message, here's a voicemail from past guest, Monica, who listened to my show with Rolt, R-O-L-T. I did an audio chat.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't listen to this. Who is Rolt?
Oh, he was the guy from Idaho who wrote to Ted Kaczynski. How's that? Here's Monica's.
Hi, Tim. It's Monica. Sorry about that. I accidentally double send my comment. So obviously just delete one of those. But anyway, that was a great interview. I really, really enjoyed that with, he calls himself Rolt, I think. But anyway, that was really excellent. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Nice. Excellent. Thank you for that. Comment to Abs.
Just give me a sec.
Eagle, good.
Yeah, if you go to the main site, fakeologist.com/blog, you'll see a speak pipe button. You can leave a message if you don't like to type. But that was Monica Schaefer, who's extremely controversial. She did a video apology to her mother. I thought it was really
very
good.
Controversial. It's a shame that Living Man, I don't think Living Man has ever heard that show, the fact that he keeps, you know, trying to say.
Well, he doesn't listen to the show.
No, I don't think he does, but I've tried
to
say.
He's got nothing to do with Fakeologists. That's my main critique of the guy. Plus, he's so stuck in his Hitchcock Living Man world.
He wouldn't be if he listened to that interview. That was hard hitting. That was as controversial as you can get.
I guess
To be prepared to interview someone that's been accused of, you know, the holo hoaxing. 10 out of 10. I mean, that takes you up with the level of John Friend.
Well, I'll never be John Friend, but John Friend's actually a really good interviewer.
Did you hear him on Tim Kelly's?
I'm not a Tim Kelly fan. I can't listen to the guy. There's something wrong with his voice.
No, I love his voice, but he does remind me slightly of A.A. Morris, slightly, but not. I'm not serious here, but you know he does have that kind of A.A. Morris tone to him. But very good show. Yeah. I just love anyone that's really knowledgeable about multiple subjects, and he is. Say you rang him up and you were a dietitian, he'll ask you questions that you have to kind of go, I'm not sure if I know that one. He seems to know it as Tim Kelly. You know, he seems to be able to discuss things and know
almost as much as some of the subject matter as the experts that he's talking to.
I guess my problem with him is he mumbles. I have a hard time with mumbling.
You said that.
You're doing a podcast.
Does he mumble? Not really, right. Not to me. Yeah, a mumbler would, and they used to say Marlon Brando mumbled, but to me, Marlon Brando, when he spoke, so if he actually was interested
in it. Does he slur his speech at least? Do you think he slurs his speech?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. Right. I'll give you that. But you're
he's on my podcast list. I do listen.
I'm Broken Locks from Christchurch.
Dee Dee from Portland.
Jungle Jim.
Resmo Jeff.
Dead Kelly.
Adam from Florida.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Rick and Ab and Rick, Rick and Rollo, October the 2nd, 2022. And we're talking about podcasters. And yeah, if he's on your list, he's on my list.
He's on my list.
Yeah.
Do you listen to Patrick Timpone?
No, never heard of him. There you go. never.
He's been doing radio / podcasting for a long time. Got a good voice, great mic, and good sound. And he does interview a lot of the people we listen to. Patrick Timpone.
I have heard of him. I just would have said it differently. Timpone, I would have said.
Timpone. Well, yeah. I think he says Timpone.
You'd be right. No. You're right. I'm just saying that's what I've read, the name. But as you know,
he does a lot of stuff.
Us drivers and people that don't have jobs, we need to think too hard, which I highly recommend to anyone out there. Get a job where you don't need to think too hard and learn the truth. Learn the truth. Listen to podcasts all day. I don't need to think. I just like to listen.
Yeah.
But I do occasionally.
You don't listen to him?
Occasionally. Not yet, but if you send a link onto the Discord.
I'm trying to think of the song.
I'm trying to think of the Joe
Montana
song. I still
think you should listen to the No Agenda show too.
Well, I have, and I do know he's one of the legends of podcasting. Has internet 2.0 happened yet? 2.0. Has it happened?
It's happening very much so.
Excellent. Well, there you go.
It's just an open protocol to keep the big tech from taking over podcasting and destroying it. That's really the point of it.
Now, going back to last night's talk. It probably got glossed over. Yeah. I didn't reiterate it, but I can't reiterate that New Zealand's Prime Minister is a major player in the world scene. And her speech about Mal and Miss Disinformation, the new WMD, as opposed to, what was it? What was the Iraqi one? Weapons WMD. Of mass destruction. Yeah, they've just changed the initials up and down, but it's the same.
A little bit,
The same letters, fucked around with, but whatever.
She's basically saying that anytime you disagree with the globalist program, it's hate speech.
I listen to IPS.
It was definitely on the top. I listen to IPS too. He's very good. Everyone needs to listen to IPS.
Yeah. And Lynn Hertel, far out, man. Did you hear the passion in that woman? Did you hear it?
I haven't heard her lately. I'm behind again.
Okay. Well, about three episodes ago, either two or three episodes ago, he did a maybe five-hour show, and Lynn comes on for three hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and the passion. About? Well, you name what they didn't talk about. You know, she absolutely. I listened to it throughout the night. I couldn't sleep or whatever it was, but she just gets so fiery and absolutely passionate about.
Yeah, she goes on autopilot.
Well, as I remember, Chris Kendall saying to her, "Why haven't you got your own show?" And. Oh, I think he suspected.
Yeah. You know, he was talking to her, and I don't know if he was being sarcastic, but she should have her own show. But like me, you know, it's much easier to come onto as a guest onto here and have it all done professionally and the sound and, you know, editing and not editing. There's no editing, but there's, you know, it gets put out. And I guess she's the same, but my God, I mean, I tell you that her and Tim, Osman should, or yourself, should be just going, Lynn, can you do 1 day, no, sorry, 2 hours a month? That's all we want on a particular day. Say the first Thursday or first Saturday, whatever day suits you, of every month, we do a two-hour Lynn Ertel rant. And
I'll have her back. I'll have her back on.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, she just gets she's got the passion, the knowledge of insignificant to you or to me, political shenanigans of the 70s or 60s. And she was there. She was a protester back in the Vietnam era. She's got conviction as opposed to convictions. She's just really good. And I love her when she gets onto IPS because he lets him go. He doesn't try and shut him down or whatever. It just goes. And she managed to get, I think it was either two, I think it could have been 3 hours of good stuff about a week ago or less. Highly recommend that show. Highly recommend it.
I'll listen. That's another long one. Well, you know, when we do our own show, I can't listen to others because I can't do two things at once.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the same with me, Ab. I'm so behind on your, because you've been the weekday ones where you've, you know, done the German medicine, there's a whole number of them.
I'll have to take a week off so you can catch up.
Yeah, could do. Have a holiday. I'll tell you who does have holidays. That's it. You should. Do yourself a favor and do so because you've got enough for people to catch up and can do a best of, you know, whatever the best of interview of the month. Put a couple of them out because James Evan Pilato, I can see why. He does five 2 hour shows a week, one music, one talk, plus the one he does with James Corbett. And every now and then he takes 2 weeks off. And I totally support that because, you know, you're putting out that much information and doing that much work and research, you've got to have a holiday. You've got to just turn off.
He's pretty mainstream, though, I find.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He is. But he doesn't realize what he's doing when someone like me listens to the News of the Day show, and he'll do On This Day, and he'll do, he'll read maybe a 5-minute blurb on what news event happened on this day. How many years ago? Those are the things where I pick up my information because I listen to something. You know, the other day was the formation of the London Metropolitan Police, which were a private police force that London set up by John Peel. The Peelers, was it John Peel? It was someone Peel anyway. They were.
Yeah, we have Peel Region here.
Yeah, the local people of London didn't want a new private police getting set up. They set it up on the date 29/9. It was 11/9 straight away. You know, it was a suspicious date. And the local public didn't want a private police set up. And it said that incrementally they changed, their powers got stronger after they were accepted. So this is how they get the way that they're doing things, is bring it in gently.
Was that one of the first police corporations?
Yes, it was. It's a private.
Is that where they got the word police and policy enforcers?
Yeah, it could be that
origin of that? I don't know. Yeah. So it was a private police force.
Yeah, London Met. And that's
Sir, what was his name? Sir something Peel.
Peel.
Another Sir.
Robert Peel. John Peel was a DJ. So forget about that one. It was someone Peel.
Yeah, Robert Peel sounds right.
Something like that. It was a private police force using not God's law, but, you know, man law, you know, the, and as
policy.
Policy. So when they got in, they came in, you know, through, deception. Then they increased their powers bit by bit by bit by bit. Because London is, just remember, London is like the Vatican or Washington. It's a complete separate state to the rest of the country. It's the law within itself, a country within itself.
The city of London, the financial capital within metropolitan London, the square mile.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So he set up that in the square mile or all of metropolitan London?
I guess have to be the whole of metropolitan London, but London itself as the city in the middle of the rest of Great Britain, you know, being the banking stronghold of the financial network, and Black Cube's got their offices there. Their other offices are in Spain and Israel, and they are the private investigation group that can do whatever they like and do whatever they like. So Black, it's as if, say right now, this would be the equivalent. Black Cube suddenly come out of the darkness and decide and say that we're going to start a private investigation police force. Me and you and other aware people go, no, that sounds dodgy. That sounds dodgy. They slowly get it in by incremental, you know, bit by bit by fake news.
Well, Interpol is private for the Rockefellers, isn't it?
I would say Interpol is Rockefeller and London Met is Rothschild. So same old. But if you can imagine right now, if Black Cube decided to become mainstream and wanted some more powers.
Are you talking about BlackRock?
No, Black Cube, the Israeli intelligence agency that runs, does psychological warfare on people, or does investigations.
That's not the Mossad.
They're ex-Mossad, private. It's a private enterprise. Yeah, and their logo is written as Black Cube, with the way it's written, the K and the C form a Black Cube. They are the ones that if you want, say for instance, you had a lot of money and someone was harassing you online, you go to Black Cube. Say you were a politician and someone, you'd done something wrong, Black Cube could remove all the search results of anyone that's looking for a story about you, or do all sorts of amazing tricks. The ex-Mossad, who are, I would say, the best intelligence agency on the planet, guaranteed. But Black Cube, when they supposedly retire, they join this new private organization. And they're the ones, just look at their, I'll tell you their phone number, Ab, right? I'll give it off the top of my head. No, 666-1515-666. That's 666. Really? Worse. It's .44666-1515. That's 666 and ISIS written phonetically.
Yeah.
That's the phone number for the England branch. The one in Israel is 666.
Do you need an area code in there?
There's an area code, all the area codes are either 33, 44, or another number that adds up to 11. It's incredible. Just look up Black Cube phone numbers, and you'll see real interesting phone numbers, especially the ISIS one. I mean, that's a real giveaway because, you know, Israel is three gods. It's ISIS, IS, IS, R,
is,
A,
Ra, and L.
And L.
Yeah.
Three gods. Yeah.
All right.
It's all in the name. All in the name. And what country were they founded in? England.
Right.
That's where they were founded. Yep. By the same old. Yep. So
an English invention, huh? The Khazarian Phoenician Empire. It's their invention.
They needed to have a stronghold in the Middle East so they could do their naughty work taking off the...
Isn't it just because of the Holy Land? The Holy Land? Yeah, right. Isn't that really... Mm. No, I'm not being serious.
Oh, no? Okay. No. Well, what?
Well, Jerusalem's always been the main city. They wanted to
someone
take
questioned.
Over. Is it not?
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's true. Okay. Well, I shouldn't have laughed, but that's true.
Yeah.
But
they wanted
someone
to
said,
include Jerusalem.
What's so special about the area? And someone was it? Could have been. I had mentioned it 10th time. Alan Watt. He said the only thing that he can think of is that particular area was so heavily full of sacrifice, like Golgotha, where the crucifixion was a sacrificial mound. You know, they used to sacrifice, do either human or animal sacrifice. And that's the one main religion of that area was sacrifice of goat, humans, people, whatever. That's the only thing he could kind of come up with. Why would they want? Why is it so important that part of the area? And it's they're totally devoted to sacrifice. And if you look at the Old Testament, don't you think it's absolutely overloaded with that sacrifice meme, you know, or whatever? You know, it's like lambs. You know, sacrifice seems to be a major part of this cube religion that. Is taking over everything, that you have to sacrifice something. And to me, to go and kill something is not a particular nice thing to do, you know, be it a chicken or a whatever. To deliberately kill someone or something to give you more power doesn't sound like the kind of group of people I would like to be part of. In my mind, I could be wrong, but I have eaten steak tonight and eaten a chicken. Were they sacrificed? No, they were killed. I don't know. I don't know.
We talked to Dr. Foster Cluck yesterday.
Oh, I saw
interesting
that.
Interesting guy. He worked at, speaking of chicken, he worked at Walmart in the deli, and he was in charge of the rotisserie chicken for $6.97. Interesting number. Do you know what I'm talking? Do you have that in Australia? These Walmart type stores, they sell these rotisserie chickens for cheap.
I bought one tonight.
How much do you pay? And where do you buy it?
$11 I paid. $12. $12. $12 for a rotisserie chicken. Yep. How much do you pay?
And, I don't know. We never buy them. We always make our own, but never bought one. Well, that's not true. We bought one when we went to.
Oh, look, you know what? Sorry, I'm a sucker, right? I walked through the aisle last night at whatever it was, 6 o'clock, and they had them cooking and roasting away, and the smell was so nice.
Yeah,
I just thought, no. And plus, I got one cat that does not like. Cat food. It just wants to either eat rats or.
Oh, you
eat.
Feed him the carcass?
No. He gets. No, Ab, I'm telling you, my cats get fed as well as my children, probably better in some cases.
You eating the whole chicken?
No, I'm getting pieces of the chicken. Please. I'm not that generous.
Wow.
Wow.
So
I'm the friend.
You eat
I'm
the
a friend
chicken
of animals.
And then you.
No. The chicken is. I was peeling. I made myself food. Plus, I gave some to the cat, and then I'm using it as in the fridge now, and I gave more to the cat, and I've got my trained attack birds at the front that come and swoop in, and I throw them out pieces of chicken, and they protect me because these birds normally attack. At certain times of the year, they attack people that walk around the streets. I don't know why, but have I been attacked? No, because I'm a friend of the birds. They love me. They think I'm part of their
Birdman.
I'm the bird man of my area. Be told, guaranteed. Now I'm trying to find. I've got to find Jalen Turner's the song, but it might be a bit.
Yeah, go look for it.
I don't know if he talks about nuclear. Look, I shouldn't be disparaging of people that believe in nuke bombs because it's very difficult to lose that thing. Can I tell you that was the first? I kid you not. I stopped believing in nuclear bombs when I was about 16 because I just knew.
Why?
Well, because I'd worked out there was an elite out there that was running things, and I knew if there was a particular explosive that would make that land uninhabitable for 2,000 years, they wouldn't allow that to exist, right?
Right.
And I was proven right with my instinct that these things didn't and weren't a thing.
That's right.
5 or 6 years later, after reading a book,
well,
which I've got
by... Well, H.G. Wells invented
the
A-bomb. Did he not?
You're listening... Yeah, no, the A-bomb. You're listening to Rick and App.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, well, it's called, the song's called It Can't Happen Here. It Can't Happen Here by Rainbow, right? And I can find it for you if you want, which I can easily do.
I got to get you to learn how to do bot commands. Do you want to learn?
Yeah, I will. Not tonight, but I will learn. I need to learn.
You seem to be very resistant to learning that.
Yeah.
Well. That's kind of the truth.
But no, I can get my son to show me. I'll send it to you.
I gotta mute for once.
You mute.
Did you want me to play it now? What's it called?
It can't happen. I'm sending it to you right now.
Play.
1 sec.
It can't happen here.
I'll put it on live stream. It's live stream show notes right now.
It's Rainbow.
It can't happen here. Good song.
All right, here we go.
Jalen Turner wrote that. Good song. And Frank just sent me a message saying that he could play it, but oh good.
Oh,
Yes, that was Rainbow, and it can't happen here. I'm not a huge fan of that kind of music, but the guy has a good voice, but it reminds me of Lou Gramm. But that kind of song is just not quite my type of listening. I guess Rick has left. This is his normal disappearing time. So on that note, if anyone wants to further chat in the audio chat today, just ping me. And I should get the notification. Just wait in the audio chat and I'll come back. Otherwise, see you next time.
That's all, folks.